Brethren, I'm sure we're all looking forward to a rich blessing. It's nice that Brother Paul could be with us, and he offered that, or he was willing to serve us this morning, and his subject's going to be us and Isaiah. Us and Isaiah. Looking forward to a rich blessing from Brother Paul, who now lives in Connellsville, Pennsylvania. So it's a blessing to have him with us. Brother Paul. We told him that he could feel free to sit, but he wants to try and serve from the platform, but he might sit down during the discourse.
Thank you, Brother George. Good morning, dear brethren. Chicago has a special place in my heart. For the many years that I've come here, I don't know how many, the wonderful fellowship, the love, the spirituality that exists here is something for me to behold, and I love it. Today's a special day for me, too. I became a great-grandfather today. And thanks to Brother Gary and Sister Vicki, they became grandparents. That's my first. Brethren, our spirituality is very necessary. We've all consecrated for a purpose. My consecration, I'm going to give you a little history of myself, because I think that my looking into Isaiah fulfills some of my desires down through the years. 1929, I was born, the seventh son of Mom and Dad. I had three sisters, six brothers. Somewhere in the earlier 20s, Mom and Dad came in contact with the truth through some previous brethren that lived between Terre Haute, Indiana, and Pittsburgh area. So basically, I was born into the truth. That's a long time. I made the truth probably in my early teens. I consecrated in heart then. In 1951, I was in San Antonio, Texas. Met Brother Art Newell, you know him well, and Sister Estelle. They were precious to me there, guided me along things that I was never taught in the truth, as it were. Also, I started writing to my dear then girlfriend, if you will, or fiance, Sister Esther Chimonis, and she would correspond with me for almost 20 months and tell me about their studies in Waterbury, Connecticut. I liked that. I had the volumes with me and I looked into those things. In 1953, I married. In the course of that marriage, my spirituality grew. By the by, Brother Art Newell is the one that immersed me in 1951. I moved to Connecticut after marriage. There we had four wonderful daughters who grew up to be consecrated. That's a joy of a father that cannot be described. In pursuance of life and study, the Lord's grace has been so sufficient. He's blessed me all the way and guided me. Many things happened to me while I was in Connecticut. And I'm reminded of Isaiah. This is where I come in with Isaiah. Six, eight. Isaiah has a vision, and he says, the Lord says, who will I send? Isaiah, send me. I never ever thought that I'd have the opportunity to say, send me. I met Brother Ken Rawson many years ago, but in the earlier 80s, Brother Ken developed the program Appointment with Destiny. And by and by, Brother Ken asked me if I would accompany him to Israel. Lo and behold, that was a great moment in my life. It'll be me. Oh, I confided in dear Sister Esther. She was all for it. And that became my first trip of many, many to Israel to promote that Israel Appointment with Destiny. That was a joy for me that I cannot describe, brethren. Meeting first from the common people, talking to them, graduating to rabbis, eventually to some of the political entity, then meeting Prime Minister Rabin, Netanyahu, Prime Minister Olmert. Brethren, you can't comprehend how the joy is in my heart of this. I will go. You know, it was a joy. Comfort ye my people. Some of them would say, well, what do you bring us? Most religions bring them money. We have no money to give you. We have a comfort message. And I believe that comfort message has helped Israel more than any dollars and cents that they could have received. It gives them a message of hope. The hope that they have. The hope that we give them was, don't give up now. Don't give up the land. You've worked too hard for that, to give it up. And that's the way it stood these many years. It's a wonderful feeling, brethren, to be able to be part of that. It was only through the Lord's blessing and direction, temporally and spiritually, that I was able especially to accompany Brother Kenneth. In Isaiah, Brother Russell, I believe, dear brethren, that any chapter in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and all the minor prophets. Our pastor in the reprints has so much to say about these chapters. Take the 28th chapter, for instance. The Lord is going to do His strange work in the 21st verse. The Lord never does anything that's strange. Why would He say this at this particular time? It's strange to the Christendom. Christendom is so used to the traditions that they've fallen into that anything different is strange. It was strange initially to Israel when we said we wouldn't give them anything but hope. And that was more important than any of the financial aid that they could receive. It was a great feeling then, brethren, and it still is. In the 29th chapter, in the 10th verse, well, before we get into that, I want to explain something to the brethren. In my studies of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the minor prophets, Brother Russell covered these subjects very well. And I noticed one thing in particular in all the books that he was talking about Israel, fleshly Israel, what would transpire with them. And it's in plain English. But he also talked, this also is very significant, of nominal spiritual Israel. And not only that, it's indicative also of spiritual Israel. And not only that, heathendom. Heathendom cannot be excused. We must remember that. Remember, the heathen raged. What are the heathen doing today, brethren? You got Ahmadinejad in Iran. He wants to wipe Israel off of the face of the earth. Never happened. Iran is Persia, ancient Persia. And the scripture is that Iran will make war eventually with Israel. It'd be part of the forces of Jacob's great trouble. Not only with Iran, but the hordes from the north. Well, who are the hordes from the north? Well, we could say Russia. But today, Russia doesn't exist in the lower quadrant, or western quadrant of Russia. There's Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. These are separate countries. They're known as the SIS, Soviet Independent Republics. They're great oil-producing sections. They're north of the Black Sea. And they produce oil. So much oil. And their oil wells and refineries are in such a condition that there's oil spill all over the ground around these areas, and people live there. The ground is so polluted, brethren, that people are dying of cancer and everything else. Those that live there, also for winter, heating conditions. They merely go out to the ditches that are dug around some of the oil wells and pick up buckets full of oil to burn in their stoves. It cannot raise vegetables. The ground will not raise anything. These are the people, even presently, Putin, the premier of Russia, tried a little war to get those countries back into the fold. They wouldn't have it. So these countries are Muslim, whichever way you want to look at it. And they too follow their leaders, and they too will be part of the package that will be of the hordes of the north. It's amazing how things work out in our time. In the 28th chapter, in 29th chapter now, Isaiah has a vision of the future. Before we go into the vision of Isaiah there, we look back at the whole book of Isaiah. Isaiah had 10 visions of woes. He also had 10 visions of salvation. And then he had 10 visions of everlastings. The main everlasting in Isaiah is God. God himself. There's no beginning and no end, everlasting. Israel will be everlasting. It had its beginning. Once it's restored to full completeness under the new covenant, it will never end. You know, in one of the visions, Isaiah says, he's not learned. How can he go by? Doesn't that sound familiar to you? What did Moses say? He's not eloquent. Brethren, we don't have to be eloquent. You get on the Christianity, on their pulpits. Oh, what a wonderful discourse our preacher gave us today. What a wonderful mass the priest performed. Eloquence. People go for that, brethren. But the stammering tongue is what the Lord likes. It doesn't mean that you're talking with speech impediments or anything. But not with pride. Pride is the downfall of man. We preach the precepts of humanity, of God. We know what humanity is doing and has done. They've failed at every corner, everything that they've ever done. Israel. She failed. She couldn't keep the law. Half-heartedly, she did some things. You know, we had the marvelous works of the Lord, as I stated earlier. He hid it from ages past. Now the mystery is made manifest. To who? To the saints. We understand what God's going to do. The chart, no one can find fault with it. I don't look for faults. One time, I was talking to a Catholic gentleman. He says, you know, Paul, Catholic Church gives me everything I want. Well, now it depends on what you want. That's very important. I've never known the Catholic Church to give something for free. You buy a Mass card, already you're, $50, $75 you're paying. They are taxed. In Waterbury, they wanted to build a new church. They taxed every congregation or parish in Connecticut. And they had to pay. You know, Notre Dame in France, the Louvre, those weren't built for nothing. We know the history of what transpired there. The scribes and Pharisees, they were the leaders of Israel. And they went about just like the scriptures say, Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. They became the false shepherds of Israel. They led them astray for either financial gain or temporal gain. The same thing happens today with Christianity. All religions have priests and ministers. Well, little by little, the scribes and Pharisees developed into something else to become and became leaders of Israel. It was no more of the scribes and Pharisees. It became rabbis. And the rabbis became the leaders. We know, brethren, that the meek will increase. In the church, to the point of where the Lord says it is sufficient. When the scripture speaks of the terrible one, we speak of Satan, who deceived the churches. Make all things look so glorious, so upright. They're not so upright. Many years ago, Sister Esther was serving at a fair, at the Danbury Fair in Connecticut, and she got into an argument, if you will, with them. And he said to her, and to another young man that was there, "Do you realize who I am?" Which meant nothing to Esther. But the young man stepped in and said to him, "Let her alone. Let her alone." And he did. So there are difficulties sometimes with the brethren. We've all experienced it one time or another. I know in the course of my life, as a young man, people would wonder where I go on Sundays. And I'd tell them, my kids, you know, young kids like myself. "Oh, you're a Russellite," and all this kind of stuff. That's all right. They say all manner of things against us, brethren. We don't pay any attention to it. Those are only words. Words hurt. Israel, in its dire predicaments over the years, the financial gain that the leaders had, according to, as I say, Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, was it made them false leaders. What do the churches do, Christendom do? Well, they've gone a lot of different roads that they've traveled. Now it's financial prosperity. Every once in a while I turn one of them on for a few moments. Turn the program on TV. Here's a so-called minister, has a typical shawl that the rabbis wear and say their prayers in. Well, he's offering them to the general public on television for a price. $20 or $30 for that shawl. You wear this shawl and your prayers will be answered. You'll become rich. Brethren, the only one that's going to be rich is he is, because he's selling all these shawls. You know, the story is pennies make dollars. Well, $25, say, you sell 1,000 of those, you're starting to get some serious money. That's the financial prosperity that's preached. In other ways, too, also, they preach of getting the financial prosperity, like has happened with Israel. Spiritual Israel is in the same category. They've lost it. Early on, they lost it. In the corruption that they had, the 10 tribes especially, they went into captivity probably 150 years before Judah and Benjamin. They worshiped their false gods. Eventually they worshiped them. They're constrained to the point where they no longer believed that God was doing anything for them. God never left them. They were under a period of favor. Leviticus says they were, I'll render unto you double. So they were in the 1845 years of favor. No matter what, they were still in their favor. And in that favor period, they did many things wrong. Christianity, let the wheat and the tares grow together till the time of the harvest. Well, the wheat and the tares grew together, but the tares grow higher. The truth started out with our Lord and the apostles. And the tares got planted in, and they formed their own grains, as it were, of wheat, the truth. Little by little, they changed to this present day, when there is nothing in similarity between true Christianity and Protestantism or the papal system. They're one system, all of them. They all belong to what is known as today as Christianity. Some years ago, they all belong to the same condition as when the Pope visited England and talked to the Bishop of Canterbury. A few times after that, I heard some of the ministers say that and refer to the Catholic Church as the Mother Church. That is strange. The separation that takes place is no longer a separation. That's why in Revelation 17, Mother of Harlots, she put herself in a position of, she is the authority. How much of authority does she have? She can still override civil government. The very proof of it existed not too many years ago in this pedophile situation. Connecticut had a priest that was pedophile. They tried him in the civil courts and put him in prison. Not in Connecticut, they put him in the prison up in Massachusetts. What happened in Massachusetts? The inmates, other inmates, killed the priest. Well, now she already overrode the civil government, so she's going to do it again. We will handle the situation. Any pedophile, we will take care of it. So what she did, she merely transferred the pedophile's priest to another parish. That's not correcting the situation. But in Maine, I wanted to point out how there is still a certain amount of authority that they wield to civil government. How can that be? We wonder. It's a great, marvelous thing. You know, as I say, Isaiah is, every time I look at a verse, my mind immediately, does it apply here, apply there, or there? Or, in other words, does it apply to Israel? They all apply to Israel first. But then they apply to nominal Israel and spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel is the one that understands it. So we have to watch, brethren, how we apply scriptures. Do we apply them correctly? Or say to ourselves, well, I think it's this way. Brethren, I never want to think. I want to know. Thinking means you're going to, it might be your own thought. I want to know what our pastor said and if it all corresponds to what the scriptures say. You know, to err in the spirit of understanding is a difficult situation for brethren. Let's say that Israel erred in their understanding of the law covenant to them, and they've tried to make it easier. But the Lord set the table. We do not set the table. The Lord put His food on there. We don't put our food on the table. We put an understanding of that food on the table. Israel did this. Christianity sets their own table. And they're happy with that. If we tell them about the Lord's table, what is the repercussion? It's always negative. The Lord gave us so much through the prophets and the Lord Jesus. Above all, gave us so much. He gave us a ransom. He gave us messengers to understand His plan and purposes. Are we to deny that? Deny one part, accept another? Certainly we shouldn't. You know, there's many wise men in this world today. There's statesmen, all political people are pretty wise, they think. You know, college professors, doctors, they're wise. They talk from the pulpits. And people, as I said before, what a wonderful discourse the minister gives. Well, he learned that in school. We learn in school also. We've learned in the school of Christ. We haven't graduated yet, brethren. We don't know everything. But what we know better be the truth. The reward is too great to pass up, brethren. You know, there's been a great falling away of truth over the years. Not only in the truth, Israel fell away from true obedience to the law, true obedience to the prophets. You know, in Hebrews 11th chapter, it tells us, what was done to the prophets? They were killed, they were slain, they were mocked, they were cut asunder. All these things. What's happened down through the gospel age and the wheat and tares growing together? What did the tares do? They tried to destroy the wheat. You know, the Spanish Inquisition. What happened? So many were killed in the name of a Jehovah God. What happened during the Second World War? Pope knew of the terrible things that the Nazi regime was doing with the Jews. It couldn't be hidden. It was even hidden here. I never heard anything about the Jews during the Second World War. It wasn't even put in the paper or on the news of the radio. That should have been made known. It wasn't. Many things are concealed. But, you know, today all things are made, mostly all things are made manifest to us. We have news of so many things that are brought forth and made known. I always relate the story of how corrupt things are. I have a good friend who was a governor of Connecticut, and he got, a company fixed up his summer cottage and winterized the cottage, and he got called down on that, and he got put in jail for it. Well, after his service in jail, for I believe it was 3 years, what happened? You know, a convict has a difficult time adjusting to society. They try to get jobs, they can't. Not my friend, the governor. He immediately got a job in the city of Waterbury as some kind of financial director. Corruption goes to corruption. Connecticut, Waterbury, Bridgeport, New Haven, New London, Hartford, four or five cities. Every mayor has been or is in jail at present. Looks like something like what's happened here in Chicago with Mayor Bogdanovich. Corruption, corruption, corruption. These are shepherds of people, brethren. Do they lead them right? No. Even they're not the spiritual shepherds, but they're shepherds of the temporal portions. He misled them. It's an unwise situation. Wise men, where are they wise? They're wise in their own conceits, in their own ability to mislead people. This is what it is. That's why I think so much of the younger generation is going into politics. It's an easy way to get money. Misappropriating funds for re-election is another big thing. Bring this again to Israel. How things developed with them. Not only during the period of favor, but also during the period of disfavor. What happened during their period of disfavor? Well, Israel was a vassal nation, always ruled by someone. In the 500s, the years 500, is the first time in the history of Israel, first time, mind you, that they were controlled by an Arab league. And that went on till 1000s, when Turkey, the Byzantines, or Turkish people, took it over. Constantine sent many things to Israel. He was interested in it. He wanted the Christian people to look to him for guidance. He sends his mother, a heathen, to Jerusalem to settle disputes as to where Christ was buried, where he was crucified, where Mount Sinai was. Here's a heathen that knew nothing about anything about Christianity, is establishing as a fact, this is where this happened, this is where that happened, this is where another thing happened. I believe it's in the 1400s. Then the Muslim hierarchy rewrote the Quran. I don't know, brethren, if any of you have ever seen the Quran or read it. And I, different times in my life, I've heard some Quran statements made. A couple of my friends back in Waterbury are Muslim. They're Albanian, but they're nonetheless Muslim. And Sam said one day to me, "Paul, we all believe in the same God." Well, I coughed and sputtered on that. We do not believe in the same God as the Muslims do. It's a different God altogether. We believe in a loving Heavenly Father who created the heavens and earth, sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What a great thing that was for us. We have the hope of that everlasting life. We have a special hope. We've been called out of darkness into the mystery that was hid in ages past. Many of the ministers of today say, it's all a mystery. It's not a mystery, brethren. No longer a mystery to you and I. It's great. You know, the 35th chapter of Isaiah brings out the wonderful plan of God. I'm going to be glad for them. They'll come back from the grave, receive their dead. And how are they going to do this? You know, the Lord's not going to raise anyone in the United States, anyone in England, anyone in South America, anyone in Asia, anyone in Europe, till what? Zechariah 12:8. Let us grab a hold of the skirt of him as a Jew. Why? Because we have heard that God is with you. That's the only way they're going to be blessed. They have to, of necessity, recognize Israel. And through that, they will receive their dead back to life. We know the deserts are going to blossom as a rose. You know, I don't know how many have ever been around the Nile River in Egypt. Around in Cairo, maybe 10 miles west of Cairo. I'll be extensive with that. It's nothing but desert. Going over to Libya, Morocco, it's a desert. Some places a desert of sand. Some places a desert of stone, mountains, not a brush, not a leaf of grass, not a blade anywhere. It'll all blossom as a rose. How the Lord's going to do it through the church, I don't know. He'll cause the rains to come. My conjecture is very broad. I let the Lord do it. He's going to worry about it. He doesn't worry. The Lord is one that does the miracles. Christianity say they do miracles. We had one minister, priest up in Massachusetts, that he would heal the sick. No doubt, in the course of time, some healed. But Satan is a marvelous man. He can make the truth, error appear as truth. The lame are going to leap as a hart. No more one-legged man. No more men with artificial implants in their knees. No more women with artificial hip joints. Those are all things of the past. What a great time that is for humanity. I thank the Lord for that. I ponder that all the time. What's going to become of humanity? they're going to say, I remember Brother Larry McClellan in New Brunswick gave a discourse on the restitution, raising of the dead time, when the thief, murderer will be approached and say by the one that he murdered or killed, says, why did you kill me? Why? There's no answer. They're not judged according to that. They'll be judged according to the life they live after they are brought forth from the grave. That's where it's more important. It doesn't give them excuse now to murder anyone. So the Lord will bless everyone. You know, brethren, if it's not going to be that way, it's going to be better yet. One thing about the kingdom, and I believe wholeheartedly, we're in the early stages of the kingdom. The Lord is indeed reigning. Isaiah 62, proclaim unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Well, some say, well, that's the other side of the veil. They'll know on the other side. We, brethren, are on this side. So we proclaim unto each other, thy God reigneth. That's not future. By no means. He was king when he died. He was king during the gospel age, and he's still king. Never gave up that position. He's not a general. He's the king. So the Lord has blessed us, brethren, beyond imagination. Let's look to the scriptures for guidance and control in those things. Let's look to the fact that we can understand the Old Testament if we read it. I don't mean we have to study it all the time. We study it through the volumes, reprints. But just a personal study of the Old Testament. Remember one thing. God has a plan for everyone. But those scriptures indicate to me, and that my approach is, I first apply it to Israel. Amos 3:2, you only of all the family of the earth have I known. He didn't know the Arabs. He didn't know anyone else. He deals with them, but he doesn't know them. Never made a covenant with them. Israel, nominal spiritual Israel, spiritual Israel, and lastly, of heathen. Not make the scriptures apply. They do apply, brethren. Anytime you study, though, especially the prophets and the minor and the three major prophets, please look at it in that way. As I say, brethren, please forgive me if there's anything that I've said amiss. We trust your well-being, and then God be with you all till we meet again. Brother George.